I'd like to ask you if you would turn to your in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. It's right after Peter's second epistle, 1 John, and we'll be looking at chapter 1. It is my hope and desire this morning to bring a message of conviction. Conviction to those who know not Christ, the Christ of Scripture. And a message of comfort to those who do. I pray the Lord will give me utterance, the ability to speak well, plainly, simply. It's the same message that we preach every Sunday. I was telling our brothers and sisters in the Bible study this morning, we've been looking at this path of Peter for a long, long time. And now we've come to the book of Peter, and Polly, I just love you smiling. We come to the book of Peter, and we think, okay, it's almost over. We just about got through this. We can finish this up and wrap it up, and we can go on to something else. But I said, it's never really something else. It doesn't matter whether we're looking at Peter. It doesn't matter whether we're looking at David. Doesn't matter where you go in the scriptures of God, it's always about our Savior. I want to bring a message that would bring conviction of what we are before a thrice holy God. You see, in order to see the Lord's mercy, you have to first see your need of mercy. If you're like all the rest of us were at one time, going about through the world thinking you have some righteousness of your own, you don't need the mercy of God, do you? We must be convicted of what we are before a thrice holy God. A warning, as Noah preached in his day. I bring a warning this morning that the wrath of God is coming. Some sooner than others. There is a day when the Lord is going to return to this earth, when the trump shall sound and every eye shall see Him. But until that day, there'll be those of us who pass from this life onto the life eternal. And we're either going to spend eternity in the sufferings of our damnation, or we're going to spend eternity in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, who suffered our damnation for us. The message that would bring conviction of what we are before a thrice holy God. A message that would bring peace to the hearts of those whose judgment and condemnation has been satisfied by our substitute. Will you read with me verses 8 through 10 of 1 John chapter 1? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive, we lie. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know how many people are worshiping what they think is a God today and say, I don't sin anymore? all over the world. I was a sinner at one time, but I'm not anymore. I made a choice now. I follow God. I decided not to do that anymore. I'm better than I was before. If we say that we have no sin right now, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Folks, I would never ask any of you to confess your sins to me. There's a religion out there who wants you to go into a little box and confess your sins to a man, and he'll tell you, pray so many prayers, so many Hail Marys, whatever, and you'll be absolved of that sin. That's just an outright lie. Confessing your sins to a man or a woman does nothing but give people a false sense of relief. I will not confess mine to you, but I want to share with you this, because I think there's some of you sitting here today who could say the same thing about yourselves. Every sin that is listed in these Holy Scriptures, every sin that is listed in this entire book, I am as guilty of.
Amen.
As anybody could be. I share this with you because maybe some of you are in that same boat. Maybe there's one who hears the sound of this poor whispering man before you. Maybe there's somebody cries out like I do, Lord, have mercy on me. One who cries out with a broken and contrite heart, Lord, I have sinned against Thee. My flesh is full of filth. It's full of vulgarness thoughts. I cannot turn my thoughts away from the wickedness of this world. My strength indeed is small. I know I'm not alone in saying these things. My God has given me a man in His word, in His book, that relates exactly to the way I feel. Relates exactly to what I see in my own flesh. His name is Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 5, that prophet says these words, "Then said I, woe is me." I can imagine the tears that must have been going down through this man's eyes as he cried out, woe. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And then he closes that statement with these words. You see, when we're brought to know the depth of our depravity. When we are brought by God's grace to see what we truly deserve and what He took upon Himself for our sakes because of His love for us, we say, I am undone. I see the truth of what I am before God. For mine eyes, writes Isaiah, have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He's seen the grace of God. Am I sad? Am I distraught over what I am? Yes. But oh, what wonder and beauty it shines, the grace of God on me. Does it shine on you? You know, the psalmist puts it this way. Mark your spot here in 1 John. We'll come back. And turn over to the third psalm. David, a man after God's own heart, a man chosen from before the foundation of the world, a man that was loved of God, a man that was made to be a vessel of mercy, was just a man. He was no different than any other mortal man to walk this earth. He was troubled with weaknesses of the flesh, just as you and I are. As you read these words with me, keep this thing in mind, if you would. Our most formidable aggressor, our most burdensome enemy, is self. Listen to the words of Ephesians 6:12 before we read the third psalm. For we wrestle not against flesh. We don't wrestle with flesh. We don't wrestle with against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against powers. That's the principalities of our soul, our spirit. The powers against powers, against rulers, against of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We think more of ourselves than we should. That's what that means, high places. We raise up ourselves to a place that we have no right to be. Listen to the words of David in Psalms number 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Did David have people chasing after him? Absolutely. He was fleeing from Absalom, his son. His own son had raised up against him. But if you look at this in a spiritual sense, David's talking about his own sins. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Did not the demoniac man of Gadara have legions of demons within him, dwelling in him? I got to wondering about that. Legions. What is it? How many people are in a legion? So I looked it up. It says somewhere between 4,000 to 6,000 for one legion. If he had legions, then he had more than 4,000 to 6,000, didn't he? David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Oh. Thousands of demons that dwell in John Reeves. Back in our text in the book of John, 1 John, it says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. But 9 gives us hope. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. If we confess our sins, in verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see what I'm talking about being brought to understand? Having the revelation from God of what we truly are. Our Lord may be speaking about each individual sin, going to Him in the privacy of your closet and praying, Lord, I have a sin that's besetting me. Lord, I just can't seem to get my mind away from those thoughts. Lord, I just can't seem to bring myself away from whatever it is that's bothering you. But it also means, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve you to look upon me. What is man? What am I? What am I that you would consider me? That's confessing all of your sins at once, isn't it? Lord, how? How can I be cleansed from all this wickedness that I see before me when I look in a mirror? How can I be cleansed from the sin that I experience in this flesh? Look over at verses 4 and 5 of our text in 1 John chapter 1. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In him is no darkness. This is the title for this morning's message. In God is no darkness. Again, keep your place marked. We'll come back to that again. Turn over to the third chapter of John, if you would, please. John chapter 3. In God is the key to our being cleansed from all of our sins. You're not going to cleanse yourself. You're not going to make yourself better by stop doing whatever it is you think is wrong, whatever you interpret in God's Word that you're supposed to be against. You're not going to make yourself any better with that. Unlike the religions of this world, God's people know that we will be sinners until the Lord takes us out of this world.
Amen.
We will fight the battle between the flesh and the spirit until God takes us in the spirit out of this flesh. And he puts on immortality and the mortal body is put away. In God is the key to our being cleansed from all of our sins. Those who are in God will have the light of God dwelling in them. Those who are not in God will spend eternity never able, always coming up short of the glory of God. They'll spend their eternity in darkness. Look with me, if you would, at verses 14 through 19 of John chapter 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... I paused because I said a moment ago, the key to our being cleansed from our sin is in God. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Light has come into the world, and the world rejects the light of truth. It is our nature. When Adam fell, all mankind fell in him, and we love the lie of I. I am the decider of my destiny. I have a will to do the right or the wrong thing. I know good from evil, and I will choose to do as I please. It is our nature to put ourselves in a place as gods, so much so that we put ourselves above the Most High by declaring my decision, by declaring my will is above his. John the Baptist was sent as the forerunner to declare the coming of his light, of this light. Look at verses 6 through 17. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. Wait a minute. John chapter 1. Sorry, turn back to John chapter 1. And look with me at verse 6. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent of God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of what? Of the light. Now listen. That all men through him might be saved, might believe. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Over in the 8th chapter, you don't need to turn there, verse 12, we read this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What we've established here, and what I've just laid down for you in these scriptures, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, is the very one spoken of in our text. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Bill nailed it. He goes, what's the title of your message? I showed him the title, and he goes, well, wait a minute. The title of the message is, In Him is No Darkness. If we're in Christ, there's no more darkness in us. That's the cleansing of our sins. As the God-man, Christ Jesus, was perfect in all that He did. Every move He made, every thought He had, was pleasing unto the Father. His will was to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was that Christ the Lord should lose none of whom the Father hath given Him. This is what it is to be in Him. We were in Christ before the worlds were made. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit made a covenant before a star was ever created. Three, but one. It's a mystery I can't explain, and no man can. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there's only one God, yet three persons. This is what it is to be in Him. We were in Christ before the worlds were made, as the great three in one made an everlasting covenant and agreement. God the Father shall give a people to the Son. Their names shall be written in the book of life before anything else is created. Our Lord chose to love Jacob, yet hated Esau before they were ever even born. It still amazes me, and I've shared this with you before, but it just amazes me. My mind almost wants to pop at times when I try to think of how big a circumference this is, but everything that we know of as time was created so that you and I would be here this very moment, worshiping our Lord this very moment. All the stuff that we read in history about how people crossed the ocean and came to this side of the world, the Americas, all the stuff that we read about that happened throughout the history, that we even look about and see in this book of God, all happened according to God's purpose so that we would be here this day. We were in Christ before the world began. In Him is light. We were in Christ before the worlds were made, as the great three in one made the everlasting covenant. God the Son shall redeem His people to the Father. That's why He's known as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, as we read in Revelations. You're going to give this people to me? Okay. In order for them to spend eternity with us, they need to be made holy. Do you realize the word holy means to be made whole? That's whole. I mean, complete. In full. Okay. The covenant is this, I'll become flesh, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll establish a perfect righteousness before, because I am perfect in all that I do. I'm God. I can be nothing less than perfect. And I'll establish a righteousness, and I'll go to the cross and lay my life down for all those that you have given me before the world began. We were in Christ as He walked this earth. We were in Christ when the Spirit of God says, I shall give life to all that you have given the Son. I shall call each one in the day of our love for that person and reveal the Son of God, the light of the world, to the new heart of His sheep. We were in Christ Jesus when He walked this earth perfectly fulfilling the law of God. We were in Christ Jesus when He died and went to the grave, taking all of our sins as His own, though He had never sinned. By His stripes we were healed. We were reconciled. We were redeemed. We were justified. We were sanctified. We were made holy in the sight of God. You really can sum the whole thing up like this. Quit looking in the mirror and look to the Lord Jesus. By His stripes we are healed, washing all of our sins away, never to be seen again. We were in Christ Jesus when He arose from death. When He arose, the victor over death, to be in Christ is to live. We were in Christ right now as He sits upon His throne. His throne of glory, making intercession for us. You cannot lay anything to the charge of this one. I've already taken that darkness upon myself, He says. When the judge says, what about that? I've already paid the price. Well, what about this one over here, this thought over here? I've already paid the price. There is no darkness. It is Christ who shines the light in our hearts. I read this in Bible study, but I want to read it again here. Listen to these words. And you know, this is one of those few times where my Bible study and my message didn't cross each other. And I read this during Bible study, and I think, oh man, it's going to be great for the message too. Listen to these words over in Colossians chapter 1. Paul, writing to the Colossians in verse 10, he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and pleasing, being fruitful in all good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, under the patience and long suffering of joy, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In Him there is no darkness. We have been made worthy, meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, speaking of our Lord who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The key word is in Christ. We were in Christ right now as He sits upon His throne, the throne of glory, making intercession for us, preserving us unto Himself to be revealed in the last day. Oh, what a blessed hope there is to be in Christ, to be in the light where there is no darkness. Folks, God looks upon us as we are as holy as His Son. When Lord God Almighty looks down upon each and every one of His people, He sees the blood of His Son on the doorpost. And the angel of death passes by. But because Christ Jesus has already taken our death upon himself. Our darkness has been washed away. It is the Lord God Almighty who comes into the heart of his people and shines his light in their heart. And we cry out, praise the Lord. Once I was blind, but now I see the truth. My Lord has loved me and has provided everything for me. Do you know what God demands of? He provides. That's a good thing, because I can't provide anything. Our Lord looks upon us as holy as His Son. I confess, dear Lord, that I am a sinner, deserving nothing but the wrath to come. Yet my lawyer stands at the court and he says, my people are mine. I've paid the price. They'll be mine forever. He pleads my cause. He says, I have paid this price, I have received his condemnation, I have redeemed him, he is mine. Look over at Romans chapter 1 with me, or chapter 8 with me real quick. Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, no charge. You cannot condemn this one, for the condemnation has already been laid upon our Savior. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Oh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now turn over to verse 31. How shall we be cleansed from the darkness that we were in? The darkness was laid upon our Savior, and the light of our Savior shines in our hearts. What shall we say then, verse 31, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Are not all things placed under the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you know we're co-heirs with Him? We'll receive everything. It's not going to be split up where you're going to get a little bit of this and you're going to get a little bit of this. No, we all have it all. It's all ours to enjoy and to praise our Lord for eternity. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now go back to your text, if you would, please. And I want to read these verses once again, and this time consider what we've just looked at as far as the light and the darkness. We came into this world in darkness, dead in trespasses and sin. There was no life in us. Yet in the day of His love for us, let me make that very clear, in the day of His love for us, He comes to us, and by the power of God, gives us life. He shines the light of life in our hearts. A new heart. And when light shines, darkness disappears. Look at these words again. This time we'll read 8 and 10 together. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I do not say that I have no sin. What I do say is my Lord and God has been merciful to me despite my sin. My Lord and God has loved me from before the world was and has taken care of every sin. The darkness has been washed away. If we say that we have not sinned, verse 10, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But then we read these words in verse 9. If we confess our sins, if we confess of what we are, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now look again at verses 4 and 5. And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be fulfilled, may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's not even a shadow. There's no darkness. Our Lord and Savior, He shines so bright there won't be any need of day or night in heaven. It's always going to be in the light of our Savior. And when he comes into the heart of one of his people, he shines that light bright and drives the darkness out. I ask you this morning, are you in Christ? To be in Christ is to believe, and to believe is to receive the gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. Amen to that.